Hello and welcome to Joel Johnson's Money Wisdom. Joel is a certified financial planner and the CEO of Johnson Brunetti, the official wealth management partner of the Yukon Huskies. I'm John Stillman. Alongside Joel, he's been published in Forbes and the Hartford Business Journal. You see him every weekend as the host of Better Money on WFSB Channel 3 on the Saturday and Sunday morning news with Kara Sundlin. He's an analyst for Fox Connecticut, NBC 30, and WTNH Channel 8, and he's authored six of his own books, including most famously, The Money Map. Joel, as we kick off today's show, where we're going to talk about financial security and answer some listener questions, I wanted to first give you this fun fact of the week. 50 years ago, so that would put us in what, 1969. 50 years ago, 76% of America's 26-year-olds lived with their spouse. So in 1969, if you were 26-year-old, there's a 76% chance you lived with your husband or wife. Now, only 24% of 26-year-olds live with their spouse. In fact, and this is startling, a 26-year-old is statistically more likely in the current year, statistically more likely to live with their parents than with a spouse. That is a stunning figure to me.
Yeah, it is a little stunning. I tell you what, my 26-year-old's not going to live with their parents. And I just say that I love my kids, but you know, we've tried to train them to go off on their own, and I realize that's not always possible in this day and age. You know, we live in some challenging times, but we've been very fortunate. My oldest boy lives on his own up in Brighton, and Brighton, Mass, and he has a great job up there.
And Brandon is how old, by the way?
Brandon is 29. Brandon was born in 1990, so he just turned 29. And then Michael is 25. Let's see, 1995. So he's 24, and he is in the military. And then Joel is our 22-year-old, and Noah is our 19-year-old. So Joel is, Noah just turned 20. So we've got 20, 22, 24, and 29. And so far, so good. Noah, I know, will not come back and live with us. Noah would do anything other than come back and live with us. And not, you know, it's not because he doesn't love us. It's just because he's just got this fierce, independent streak, and he's really determined to make it on his own. And so, and Joel just got a job offer from the Hartford. So he's going to be starting with the Hartford upon graduating from UConn. So far, so good. But I know we're fortunate. I have a lot of friends where, you know, the kids have struggled to either find jobs or there's other challenges that go on where they have to move back. But it is interesting. I wonder how many of those 76% of America's 26-year-olds that live with their spouses back in 1969, I wonder how much of that was from the, you know, the agricultural towns, the farming communities, and the smaller towns in the middle part of the country.
Well, I think that was definitely part of it. But, you know, the average marrying age now is just a lot older than it used to be. I mean, anybody who lives in New York City in their 20s, it's unheard of for them to be married. Nobody in New York in their 20s is married.
I think the average age of marriage now is low 30s, I believe.
Yeah. So times have changed, and this does have financial planning implications, I would imagine, for a lot of your clients, right, Joel, who are the parents of these 26-year-olds.
Well, sure it does, because what's happening is, you know, everybody's living longer. So it used to be that, you know, if a parent was now 60 years old, there was a high probability that their parent, you know, 20 years ago or 30 years ago, that their parents would have passed on. And now, you know, those that are in their late 50s, early 60s, many times they have kids that they're still trying to support, and they have their parents that they're concerned with, you know, health problems and so on. So they call this the sandwich generation. I'm in that generation, 57 years old, where I've got my kids still in school, and I got my mom and dad that are in their 80s. And so we're sort of sandwiched in the middle of two groups that may need our help financially. And it's a real challenge. And what we tell clients is, let's make sure that you're all set for your retirement, for your financial security, and then see what's left over to help your loved ones. Because it's real important that, and I don't mean to say be totally selfish, but you know, what you don't want to do, you're not going to be able to help anybody if your finances go down the tube. So you've got to try to make sure that you plan for yourself so that you have the power financially and otherwise to care for your parents and your children.
Well, so let's talk about this idea of caring for your parents, because that weaves right into this conversation we were going to have about financial security. When you hear the phrase financial security, I think that means different things to different people. So for a lot of people, when they say, well, I just want financial security in retirement, let's talk about maybe what they mean when they say that. And for some people, it's basically what you were just saying. I don't want to be a burden on my kids, regardless of my health situation. I don't want my kids to have to take care of me. To some people, that's what financial security means.
I think for most people, if they have children, they feel that way in a sense. They might not articulate it right off the top of their heads, but remember, financial security for most people has to do with having that income security. But yet, if they don't have enough assets to take care of them in case of a health emergency, there is a real concern that they might be a burden on their kids, which is why we do asset protection through good estate planning. We help folks with that. We also help people make sure they have some type of plan for long-term care. That might be trusts. It might mean long-term care insurance. But you want to make sure that you aren't a burden on your kids, because the big worry that a lot of our clients have right now is that their kids and their grandkids won't have the same opportunities that they did. And one of the reasons that they might not have the same opportunities is because those people that are retired now might become a burden on them, and there are ways to avoid that.
For some people, when they're talking about financial security, what they really mean is, well, I want to be sure I never run out of money.
Well, and I alluded to this just a moment ago. This is the big one, right? If we were to ask even wealthy people, what is your biggest concern when it comes financially? If they're over 55, for the most part, people are going to say either, I don't want to run out of money in retirement, or I want to make sure I can keep up my lifestyle in retirement. So this is very common. This is why it's so important that people have a retirement income plan, an analysis done that tells them, number one, are they going to run out of money? And number two, what kind of rate of return do they need on their assets to make sure that they won't run out of money? And I would ask you that. You know, are you sure that you're not going to run out of money? And do you know exactly what rate of return you need on all your savings so that you don't run out of money, so that you meet all your goals and you can live the rest of your life with peace of mind and security?
We're talking about financial security and how that means different things to different people. You're listening to Money Wisdom. Joel Johnson is a certified financial planner and the CEO of Johnson Brunetti. Joel, for some people, when they say financial security, what they really mean is, well, after I retire, I want to be able to work part-time if I want to, not because I have to. For a lot of people, financial security really just has to do with reliance on a paycheck.
Well, that's correct. And there's something fundamental that happens when somebody goes from working all their life, getting that paycheck, to crossing that bridge to retirement. And now all of a sudden they realize, hey, I don't have that money coming in from the paycheck, and I have to make sure that I live the rest of my life on the savings, Social Security, and pensions that I have. Which means some people want to go back to work. They actually want to work, maybe not just in their main job. We have clients that, you know, have retired as engineers and they've gone to work for Home Depot just because they like working on things around the house or whatnot. And they're perfectly suited to work at Home Depot. And they just like having a paycheck come in, even if it isn't as big as the paycheck coming in at their regular profession that they had. So this idea of financial security, sometimes it's psychological. Sometimes it's just having that paycheck come in adds some security, even though it's not anywhere near what their income was when they were working at their main occupation. So again, the key here is having a retirement income plan so that you know exactly where your money's going to come from, so that you, when you make those kind of choices, you make them out of choice to make them, not out of necessity.
Now, for other people, financial security means not having to choose one thing or the other in retirement. Like, as an example, somebody might say, well, if I need a knee replacement or a new transmission this year that's going to cost me some cash, I don't want that to prevent me from spoiling my grandkids at Christmas.
Right. And again, I hate to keep, you know, beating a dead horse here, but that whole idea of having a retirement income plan, a plan for your assets to provide the income you need, is you know in black and white, right on paper, whether you have the extra money to do these things. So if somebody does need a knee replacement, which you probably need to go get the knee replacement, are you going to be okay? What's your budget for the grandkids at Christmas or during the holidays? Very important to know that. You know that if you have a plan. You know how much money you have left over after taking care of healthcare emergencies. When we do a financial plan for a retiree, we make sure we carve out the money that's got to provide them income for the rest of their lives. We carve out a reserve fund to make sure that there are healthcare emergencies that are reserved for or taken care of. And then we have other money that's left over for discretionary things. And many times people are better off than they think they are when they come and see us, especially when they see on paper those three different pieces. One, your financial income for the rest of your life. Number two, that healthcare side fund, that reserve fund. And number three, all that other discretionary money so you can take the grandkids on a cruise if you want to.
Now, for a lot of people, all of those things you just mentioned are a given. They're going to have enough money to do all of those things without having to worry about it. So for those folks, financial security might simply mean, look, I just don't want to watch my accounts constantly jump up and down.
Well, and just this last week, I had somebody in my office, a wonderful gentleman that has been a client since 2015, and we were talking about this. He said, Joel, you know, my brother does this on his own, and he's constantly watching the market go up and down. He's constantly looking at his different accounts and so on. I'm so glad that I'm working with you where I don't have to worry about any of that. I know that you, as a fiduciary, are covering those things for me, those things that I need, the financial planning, the investment serving the long-term plan and so on. And I don't have to worry about what's in those accounts. I don't have to watch CNBC every day and see the market go up or the market go down. How's it going to open? Where did it close? All of that. You know, how do I have the right mutual funds? Should I switch around? People basically pay us, like this gentleman does, a fee to make sure that is being taken care of. And so that's really, you know, we've discussed a lot of things here about financial security. And just to recap, you know, are you going to be a burden on your kids? Do you know that you're never going to run out of money? Do you know if you have to work after you retire, or do you want to work after you retire? Do you want to make sure that if a healthcare emergency comes up, you still have enough money to spend on the people that you love? And then last but not least, are you the type of person that wants to watch your money all the time, go through the emotional roller coaster when the market's good, when the market's bad, or do you want to make sure that you have a long-term picture and that you have somebody watching that money for you? So these are all things that go to financial security, and I would ask you the question, have you taken care of all these things? And if you haven't, we want to help you. Come on in, get the money map. We will do a map for you that shows all your money, where it's going, what kind of return you need to get in retirement. We do that through the income analysis so that your money lasts for as long as you need it to. What kind of risk are you taking? Are you getting rewarded for the risk and the fees that you're taking with your money? We want to do all of that for you. It's absolutely free, complimentary. It's worth a lot because what it will give you is financial security and confidence in what lies ahead, but you want to get that money map from us. So, you know, come on in, get the money map, get one of my books, whether it is the book, The Money Map, or the People's Retirement Handbook. Call 1-800-705-1232. That's 800-705-1232. Come on in, visit with us, have a cup of coffee, and get your custom money map.
Call or text, whichever you prefer, 800-705-1232. 800-705-1232. When you come in, you'll get a copy of one of Joel's books to go along with your Money Map Retirement Review. Call or text, whichever's better for you. If you're texting, just give us your first and last name so we know who we're talking to that way, and we'll get back in touch with you one way or the other. 800-705-1232. That's 800-705-1232. You're listening to Joel Johnson's Money Wisdom. Joel is a certified financial planner and the CEO of Johnson Brunetti, the official wealth management partner of the Yukon Huskies. Joel, there's a lady in California, San Lorenzo, California, to be exact. She recently died at the age of 102, and DirecTV, when her son, who was the executor of her estate, her son went to cancel her DirecTV because, you know, she was dead, and DirecTV charged her $160 early termination fee for breaking the contract early.
So your contract, like your cell phone contract, your cable company contract, none of them die when you die.
That's apparently. Pretty,
I was ranting and raving about my cable company the other day because I'm paying so much money. And my son, who's a student at UConn, is paying like $49 a month for everything I get, internet, all the TV channels he wants, and so on and so forth. And I'm paying, hundreds of dollars a month. But my wife, Wendy, doesn't want to leave the cable company because, you know, she can speak into the remote control and it goes to the channel and so on and so forth. So we're having this funny little argument in the house about the convenience versus the money. And for once, my wife was on the side of convenience and I was on the side of saving money. Usually it's the opposite.
Seem like the reverse dynamic from the norm.
Usually it's the opposite, which she quickly reminded me of. And of course, I immediately lost the argument.
Right, as you probably do most arguments. Joel, let's crack open the financial dictionary. And you can explain to us, when we hear the words NUA, or what does that abbreviation stand for, and why might NUA be something that a lot of employees in the greater Northeast area need to understand?
Well, we can't go into all of the details about it, but here's what you need to know. If you have company stock in your 401k plan, for instance, if you work for The Hartford and inside your 401k is Hartford stock, or if you work for United Technologies and inside your 401k is United Technologies stock, you may have a huge opportunity. When I say huge, I can't stress that enough, a huge opportunity for tax savings for you and your family, because that stock can be rolled out of that 401k and you don't have to pay taxes. Many times, not all the time, but you don't have to pay taxes on the entire value as it gets separated out and rolled out from your 401k. So NUA, it stands for net unrealized appreciation. And what it simply gives the ability to do, let's just use an example. Let's say I worked for Boeing for all my life. 30 years I worked for Boeing. And in my 401k is this stock that's been given to me through the match, through the Boeing match, and now I've got $300,000 worth of Boeing stock in my 401k. But the actual cost for Boeing of that stock might only be $30,000. So I've got $300,000 of value. The cost of Boeing was $30,000. I can roll that out of my 401k, and I only have to pay taxes on the 30. I don't have to pay taxes on the 300,000. The 300,000, as I sell the stock down the line, then I get to pay capital gains tax on the 300,000. So it's a huge win because capital gains tax are at lower rates. I can pass that on to my kids and they're going to get what's called a step up in basis on a significant amount of the stock. If I lost any of you on that, here's what to remember. If you have company stock in your 401k, don't fool around with it. Don't trade it in and out. Don't roll the money over until you talk to a qualified and, quite frankly, a very expert financial advisor that specializes only in retirement accounts, and you may be able to have a huge tax advantage. Make sure you talk to somebody that does this all the time. We do this all the time. Not everybody does. But that company stock inside your 401k plan, it might be an absolute home run from a tax standpoint.
Handy little tip that I would imagine most people miss out on just because they don't know that they don't know and they don't have an advisor that's saying, hey, have you thought about this?
Here's the thing that happens. So you have an advisor that's going to charge you fees on the money they manage. And so it's better for them if you sell all that stock and turn all that money over to them to manage. If you roll the money out of the plan and just keep the stock, chances are they're not going to charge a fee on that. So you also have to make sure you've got a very ethical advisor that's acting in your best interest, that's a fiduciary. Very, very important.
Important indeed. Let's open up the mailbag, Joel, and see what folks have for you this week. We'll start with Valerie, who says, my husband died 15 years ago, and I've dated but never considered getting married until now. My boyfriend's house would work better for us than mine would, so I'd move in with him. But it makes me really nervous to sell my house and start combining finances because I've been doing things independently for so long now. How do you advise people in a situation like this?
Well, Valerie, I personally would recommend that you keep your finances separate. Don't want to make any prediction on the relationship at all, but I just think that, your husband died 15 years ago. You've been independent for 15 years. It would just keep things a lot cleaner if you keep your finances separate. So that's my opinion, but it's opinion that's been taken from a lot of, we've helped over 3,000 families either retire or get through retirement. And we've seen a lot of these situations, and I think it's just better to keep your finances separate, split the bills however you want to split the bills. But keeping those assets separate, I think, is very, very important. Not that you don't trust each other. It's just a lot cleaner. You don't want to have a situation where there's resentments that get created because you've combined things and things don't seem fair.
All right, how about Carlos, who says, I've talked to a few financial advisors about how they get paid, and it sounds like they all have completely different models. One guy even made it sound like he doesn't charge fees at all, so I'm not even sure how that business model could work. Anyway, are there this many different fee structures, or does everyone just explain it differently?
I'm interested in the guy that doesn't charge fees at all. I think Bernie Sanders might be running that. That's just completely impossible for somebody to not charge fees unless they're getting commissions, which in a sense somebody's paying the advisor, so you should find out. There are some insurance company type of products where technically you don't pay fees, but you do make a time commitment. So this is really simple, Carlos. There's three ways a financial advisor gets paid. They either bill by time, so they charge you, they give you a bill based on the time they spend, just like a lawyer or an accountant, and they don't manage your money, they don't invest your money, they don't have custody of your money or anything like that, they just bill by time. Second way a financial advisor can get paid is through commissions. They're paid a commission by the companies that they represent, or if they buy a stock for you in a brokerage account, they're going to receive a commission to do that. And the third way is a fee based on the assets that they manage. And so a fee based on the assets that they manage, for instance, if you have a $1 million account, they're actively managing that account, choosing stocks and bonds and certain funds and ETFs and actively managing it, so they're moving in and out based on the economic situation, they're going to charge a fee on that, typically 1% to 2%. And so those are the only three ways, billing by the hour, billing for time. Number two is receiving commissions. And number three is charging a fee based on the assets that they manage. That's it. There's no other ways that I'm aware of, at least. I've been doing this for 30 years, that financial advisors get paid. And it should be real simple. I would be very leery of the person that says they don't charge fees. Maybe they don't charge fees or you don't pay the fees directly, but they should still feel comfortable explaining to you how they get paid.
Final question today is from Dorothy, who says, should I be preparing for a recession? Tell me the truth. I can handle it.
Well, the answer is yes. You should always be expecting a recession because, Dorothy, if you're in good health and you're going to live for another 10, 20, 30 years, you will see several recessions. And so when you say preparing, I think a better word should be expecting a recession? And yes, now it might not come this year. It might not come this next year. It might come tomorrow, but there is going to be a recession, and that's why it's so important to have the proper financial plan to, number one, make sure your income is taken care of for the rest of your lives, and number two, you have an investment plan that serves that need so that your other goals can be met, whether it's caring for loved ones or organizations that you feel strongly about. And so you want to be ready for a recession, and you want to have your finances arranged in such a way where it won't derail you. Most of you listening to me right now have won the game. And yet so many people keep playing the game. What do I mean by won the game? You've saved enough money to be okay, or you're getting to retirement and you're on the right track. And yet so many people get to retirement or they get close to retirement and they want to keep playing the game. They take too much risk. And now they're in a situation where, like Dorothy, you asked the question, should I be ready for a recession? I almost feel like, well, you're asking that because you want to know if you should change your money around, change your investments around based on the recession. My advice to you would be have a great financial plan where it doesn't matter if the market's going up or down, doesn't matter if the economy's doing well or doing poorly, your financial plan works. So don't have a plan based on the performance of a stock market or the economy. Have a plan that works in any market environment. So the answer is yes, you should be ready for a recession. I don't know how much you need to prepare for one, but make sure you have a strong, strong financial plan that will get you through to your goal, regardless of outside performance. So again, we've talked about a lot of great things today. The main thing I want you to hear is that you need a financial plan. The process can be simple. With us, it's complimentary. We want to earn your business, but we don't charge for that first meeting. And a lot of people don't become clients. But I want you to get your money map. It's our customized process. It's our unique process. We'll put it in your hand, shows your entire financial life on one page, and you'll get our recommendations. So call now. You'll also get a copy of one of my books. I've written 7 or 8 books. Can't even remember how many now. I just keep writing books. But you'll get a copy of the book, but get your money map. It's valuable. You'll feel better once you get it because you'll have confidence in what lies ahead. 1-800-705-1232. Again, 1-800-705-1232. Come on in, get your customized money map.
800-705-1232 is the number to call or text. 800-705-1232. No cost or obligation to come in for your Money Map Retirement Review, and you will leave with a copy of one of Joel's books. Call and leave a message or text, including your first and last name. We'll reach back out to you later and find a time for you to come in for your Money Map Retirement Review. 800-705-1232 is the number to call. 800-705-1232. You've been listening to Joel Johnson's Money Wisdom. Thanks so much for tuning in. We'll talk with you next week right here. Same time, same place. Have a great week.
Money Wisdom is sponsored by Johnson Brunetti. Investment advisory services offered through JB Capital, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Johnson Brunetti is a paid sponsor of the UConn Huskies athletic program.